remember and to actually enter into and participate. So, Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to do that in this season, to really enter in to the basic things that just jog our memory and recenter us on what you're doing, in Jesus' name. Okay, this is A Cry at Midnight, part 12. It's going to be the last one. I just felt like the Lord said that this morning, and I think any series that has more than 12 parts is probably somebody getting into the flesh a little bit, probably. I don't know. But I felt like this is the last one. Okay, so this is called Shaking. Item one, understanding the context of going out to meet him. So when we look at if you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew 25, please. Just add a little to what Abigail just said. Holy Spirit, will you do what only you can do, more than man can do? In Jesus' name. Of course, I'm having a hard time getting there. Okay, so it's important to understand the context of this parable. And it comes right after, if you just look back, Matthew 24. Okay, Matthew 24 is the Olivet Discourse, one version of it. There's three in the Bible. Mark and Luke also have recollections of what Jesus said in this moment in time. Matthew 25 is not like an isolated parable where it's like, okay, then Jesus starts talking about this wedding. He's actually saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven will be like at that time, at the time of all of the events that are being described in Matthew 24, which are really all the events being described in the book of Revelation, a lot of the events being described in the book of Daniel. So there's a lot that's actually kind of resting on the time that the kingdom is like this. And so you have to understand the parable in the context of the time that it's talking about. It's not just, hey, there he is, let's go out and meet him. There's a lot happening in this, let's go out and meet him. There's a lot to go out and pass through to meet him. There's a lot that will sift out the wise bridesmaids from the foolish bridesmaids just in the going out to meet him. And so if we look at the parable, we see that in the context of the parable. So I'll read that first, even though I've got Matthew 3, 10 to 12 first. We'll do that second. We'll read Matthew 25, 6 to 13 first. Okay, so this is midway of this parable. So at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. This is a command. Go out to meet him. That means a lot more than, hey, let's go find him. This is really related to what we see with the Shulamite in Song of Songs, when we see her in chapter 5, and she's like, she hears the groom's hand at the door, you know, Solomon in the Song of Songs, and she goes to answer the door, and he's not there, so she goes out to find him. She goes out to meet him, and she gets beat up by the religious leaders, but she's saying, tell him I'm lovesick, and they start to ask her, what's he like that you would charges to tell him that you're lovesick for him? Why are you out here? Is what they're saying. Why are you willing to get beat up coming out to find this man? What's he like? And then she starts to describe what he's like. There's a witness that happens in the midst of this lovesick intensity to go out. So when you read this, go out and meet him, it means a lot more than, hey, let's just, you know, there's the light. Let's go to that, you know, we see the lantern he's carrying. Let's go find him. There's a ton that's resisting the 10 bridesmaids to going and finding him. And it's called Great Tribulation, okay? So this is really important. So it says, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So all of them decided to, okay, let's go out into this resistance, into this storm and find him. All the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and for you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Now, the reason that the five foolish realize that their oil's running out is there is a ton of resistance coming when they go out to meet him, and they're like, I don't have enough to make it through the resistance. I don't have enough to make it through the great tribulation. Now, Jesus, he addresses these bridesmaids in Revelation 2 and 3. The seven churches, the bride-to-be, the fiancé, those engaged. And he says, these are the things that will kill your oil and you will find you can't overcome. Deal with it now so that you can overcome. Overcome what? Overcome all the resistance in this parable about the 10 bridesmaids. So if you want to know, like, precisely, where am I lacking? Like, where am I in trouble in the time of testing, in the time of going out to meet him? The going out to meet him is a process. It's a growing kind of realization. This is the time of Jesus' return, and there'll come a crescendo where many will say, I don't have enough. Like, I don't have what it takes to keep vision, to go all the way through this storm, to find the one that I claim to love. And Jesus says, if you're humble, you read the letters to the seven churches, and you start to search it's like a physical, it's an inventory of where the church is at going into this moment. Let's go out and meet him. So there's a lot that's going on in this go out to meet him, okay? Now, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This go out and meet him, it'll happen. It'll surprise everyone. It's surprising everyone right now, in my opinion. It's surprising. It won't be obvious. It will not be like a huge part of the church is like, okay, this is it. It will mostly be, this isn't it. This can't be it. And the command is go out and meet him. The five foolish will say, I can't. Like, this can't be it because I can't. But that doesn't change the day. The fact that you can't doesn't mean it's not it. So you actually want to get ready beforehand, okay? We have to get ready beforehand, which is what was coming out in worship today. Now, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids is actually a parable about threshing and winnowing. Threshing is breaking up all the grains. Winnowing is tossing them into the air so the wind would blow them away. This is actually related to the seals and the trumpets in the book of Revelation. Once you start to see it, you can't unsee it. The seals are actually broken. There's a breaking of the earth that happens in the seals. The trumpets are blowing. They're the wind. They're the wind that will winnow whatever was threshed in the seal breaking. So whatever your response is to the seals breaking, to all those judgments in Revelation 6, whatever your response is, if it's a reaction in the flesh, then that's fear. And what happens is the wind that comes blows you away from the Lord. But if in the breaking of the seals, your reaction is faith, oh, this is it. And you start to say, I have something to hope for, that my redemption is drawing near. And you start to see COVID-19 as an opportunity for your redemption to draw near. You see the inflation that's happening right now. That's the third seal. This is no coincidence. You start to say, oh, this is my redemption drawing near. I start to respond in faith and not fear. Then the wind will actually blow me to the place that Jesus is. Do you see what I'm saying? Your reaction to the seals breaking is going to determine what direction you blow with in the trumpets. That's why there's a command in Revelation 7. Don't let the wind touch anything until we've sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. And then the wind starts to blow. Your direction, it could be being determined right now. And the way it's determined is the way you react to the seals breaking. And you actually want to, nobody is naturally going to get sealed. That's something that happens intentionally. Nobody's like born and God's like, I'm just going to seal that one because I really like him. It's you're deciding right now in faith what you believe in faith about the seals breaking. That's what you're deciding so that you can moan and sigh over the seals breaking in hope, not in fear. You can moan and sigh in hope, not fear. Because the world actually wants to give false hope right now. Nobody likes the moaning and the sighing part outside of hope. That just sounds depressing. But there's a growing realization in the bride right now that I'm moaning and sighing, not because I have no hope. I'm moaning and sighing because I long for this man. Just tell him I'm lovesick. But they're kind of beating you up. Just tell him I am lovesick. I know who he is. I know what he looks like. I know what he's doing. Where is he? I know where he's at. Why are you saying where can I find him? Because I long for him. Are we longing for him in the breaking of the seals? Okay. Now, Jesus, he is the one who will winnow and thresh. It's not like the devil is winnowing and threshing, though the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. God gives permission, and then Jesus prays. This is the story of Peter. Peter, Satan's asked to sift you like wheat. God said yes, is implied in the statement. But I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. Are you praying for you? Are you actually seeing, oh, this is my Lord determining who he's going to marry? It's the reaction to what's breaking in the earth that is Jesus is using to sift out those who have fear and those who have faith. This is the wise and the foolish. You actually want to be really careful about what you let yourself think right now, what you let yourself feel right now. You want Jesus's emotions, something we've been talking about for a couple of years now. You actually want sanctification because it will determine what you think and what you feel and what you fear in the breaking of all things, in the shaking of all things. Okay, and so this is what John the Baptist said about Jesus, Matthew 3:10-12. And even now, Even now, this is 2,000 years ago plus. Even now, he says, it's gonna get much more intense, is what John's saying. But even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. He's saying, if you don't bear good fruit when the Messiah shows up, if the light of the Messiah coming to the earth doesn't cause your tree to blossom with fruit and instead causes it to wither and die, he says, you cut down and throw it into the fire. That's what you're good for. But if the coming of Jesus, it produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If that happens when the light of mankind starts to emerge in the earth, well, then that's what God's looking for. He's looking for those who are glad about that, but moan and sigh that it happened all the way. This is what John the Baptist was teaching. He was teaching in the wilderness, prepare, make straight the path of the Lord. He says, raise up the valley, bring down the mountains. If you're ashamed and condemned, come up. See that he's coming for you. He loves you. If you're prideful and arrogant, you think you don't need it, come down. This is what John the Baptist's job was to do, was to make straight the path of the Lord, to level the valleys and the hills. This is what the spirit of Elijah is doing right now. This is the promise in Malachi. Just before we see John the Baptist on the scene, we hear this promise, the promise of Malachi, that he would come. He'd be like strong soap, like a refiner's soap, and that he would change hearts. He would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children of the fathers, lest God come and destroy the earth with a curse. He actually is looking. The spirit of Elijah right now is searching to bring down mountains and to raise up valleys. This is what's happening in your heart right now. Prideful places, they got to come down. Shame and condemnation, it's got to come up. They're the same thing. They're the mirror image of the same spirit. Shame is only possible in the context of pride. And what God is saying right now is you have to put in context the shaking of everything. Yes, everything is shaking. It's on the lips of almost everyone in the church right now. God's shaking everything. But why? Why? Because he's looking for a response. He's looking for faith. He's looking for people to come out of fear and come into faith. Okay, and this is Jesus. So therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you. Now let's connect this for a second to John 15. How do you bear fruit? There's only one way. Abide. You abide in him. He's not looking for you to be enough on your own. He's actually looking for you to realize you're not enough on your own and then to abide, to draw near to him, to stay very, very close to him. And there's a specific way we stay close to him. It's in Hebrews 10. We go into this place, this holy place in the new and living way with boldness. We go before the throne of grace and we go in together to stir each other up in love and good works, even more so as we see the day approaching. This is what John the Baptist is preaching in Matthew 3. This is what Jesus is preaching in Matthew 25. He's saying, you've got to abide. You have to go in with other people and listen to the throne room of all grace and find out what you need to know moment by moment, day by day. Decision by decision. This is the point of him shaking everything, okay? So he says, indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he is coming after me, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's what we were just worshiping and praying and crying out for. God, send your spirit. We are waiting for you. We long for you to come. Why? Do we long for him to come so that people would get healed, signs, wonders, and miracles? No. We long for him to come for leadership. We long for his leadership. He's a king. He's a priest. We long for connection. We long for him to come and tell us what to do because this thing is breaking. What man wants to do isn't working. That's why he's shaking everything to get us to the realization. We long for the Spirit just to come and lead us. We don't know what's going to happen. When the disciples in Acts 2 went into the upper room, they didn't know that 2,000 years later, we'd be like, when the Spirit falls, everybody gets healed. They preach prophetically. There's a provision. There's everybody sharing. We see that on the other side. They went into the upper room for leadership because Jesus told them to. He said, don't even try to do the Great Commission until you get the leadership, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was really clear what the Holy Spirit was going to do. He's going to tell them all things, remind them of all the things Jesus had told them. He was going to teach them new things as they could bear it. He's like, you can't do this. And then he said something so wonderful. He said, it's like a baby being born. He says, this Spirit coming, I'm talking about John 16. He says, the Spirit coming, it's going to be pain for you. But it's like a baby being born. It's laborious. But don't give up hope. Yes, you'll be sad for a moment, but I am coming. And then your glory, your sadness will be turned to glory. For the baby being born, for it's being birthed into the earth. So I want to tell you something right now. There is a sentiment in the church that's starting to grow right now. Just, can we go back to like some of the happy things? Can we just get back to like the things that felt good even a few years ago? And God would say, if you were having a baby and you were like, can we just go back to when it felt a little bit better when I was like painting the nursery and we were dreaming about, he'd be like, that's a really bad way to carry your heart in the maternity ward. You don't want to carry your heart wishing to go backwards in the maternity ward. That'd be very painful for everyone involved, including the baby. So right now, don't long for the good old messages. Don't do it. I'm tempted to give them. I'm longing for them. God, I'd much rather say the great things about the Song of Songs and, you know, just being joyful in the tabernacle of David and all the promises of what's going to come, the signs, wonders, and miracles. I love the revival messages. Everybody does. That's why that's all you hear. That's itching ear messages right now. The message is coming from John the Baptist, from the spirit of Elijah, from the two witnesses. What they are right now is get vision for the labor. Get vision for the labor right now. It's going to increase dramatically. Guaranteed. It's going to increase dramatically. Get vision for it. If you have vision for it, then you can bear down at the right times. You can rest at the right times. There is rest in it. There's joy in it. The burden, it's light. The yoke is easy. It's what your spirit's actually groaning for, but your flesh is groaning to be free from the yoke. And if you're free from the yoke, you'll blow with the chaff and you'll get burned with fire. You do not want to be free from the yoke right now. You want to be yoked to Jesus. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. There is rest for your soul in it, but you must be yoked to him right now. Like right now, because it's coming at a time no one knows. Right now. And you'll feel pulled with the world, blowing with the chaff, but it feels secure because it's what everyone else is doing. Don't give into it. That's a lie. The road is narrow. Few find it. It's a difficult way. Few even want it. Don't give up on the labor vision right now. I'm telling you, a lot of the church is going to go to hell. They really are. And a ton of the world, I had the most amazing conversation yesterday. I have a friend who's a Muslim, and I haven't seen him in about 6 years, 7 years. I ran into him at Home Depot, and he's like, Tom, I care very much about God and what God thinks about me. And he said, this virus, he said, so many talking about the vaccine this, the vaccine that. Why is no one asking God to come and fix this? My Muslim friend. Why is no one asking God to come and fix this? Do you know there's a harvest, a multitude without number in the world that's seeing something right now, and they're like, God is the only answer. Because they don't have a pre-existing notion of who Jesus is. They're open to receiving Jesus. But a lot of us have all these loopholes and ways around what this says. We just can't be taught. Our hearts are so hard. We have our hopes that we hang on to, and we just keep putting more weight on those hopes. But if they're not Jesus's hopes, you're deluded. We have these fears. We just put more weight on these fears. But if they're not the fear of the Lord, you're deluded. And I want to tell you right now, the way forward is very narrow for believers. These messages are all to believers. He says, I wish you were hot or cold. If you're cold, I could save you. You're teachable. But if you're lukewarm, you're inoculated. You can't receive anything. You just think you know and you won't be taught. And right now is the time to actually get into the place where we're like, I've got to get vision for labor, for harvest, for a return for the Lord, not for me. That this is about the Lord. This is not about us. This is actually much bigger than us. We've been chosen to live in a moment in time where he says he's going to get a pure and spotless bride. It's about what he's going to get, not what we're going to get. And if we can let that go, then you can be moved to him. But if you just cling to what you're promised, what you're going to get, you will be tempted to make that happen on your own, and you don't want to give into that. And this is why. He says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He's only looking for people that are looking for what's in it for him right now. because he's already proven all he's doing is looking to what's in it for us. He gave everything that we could have life, everything. He had it all. He sanctified himself that we might be sanctified. And so right now, we have to actually be like, Jesus, what is it you want right now? What is it you're trying to get right now? What are you saving? What are you getting rid of? We want to know what he says about that, not what anyone else says about that. We want to know what he says he's saving and what he says he's getting rid of, and then we want to set our face to agree with him, even if everyone else turns away. Because it's a very narrow and difficult way, but it's easy and light because he's the only one that can do it, okay? He will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So going out to meet the bridegroom means coming out of Babylon or the world. That's what it actually means. Going out, it means going out. It's just what going out means. It means that throughout the Bible, consistently, God is always taking a people from a people. I mean, we've been saying that in this room for like literally 5 years. God's always taking a people from a people. He hasn't stopped doing that. He's still doing that. That's what the parable of the 10 bridesmaids is. That's what's happening all around you right now is we're coming to a very dramatic moment in time where God is like, I'm taking a people from a people. Which people are you? Are you faithful people or are you fearful people? Are you humanistic salvation people or are you Jesus salvation people? It's really simple. It's easy, actually. It's just very hard on the flesh. The flesh does not want to let go of his garden. It doesn't. And so we have to be like, it'd be better for me to die in your arms than for me to eke out a few more years in my own. I cannot live with you if I try to save my own life. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. If you're willing to lose your life, you'll find it. And that will never change. That's never going to change. It's just the rubber is meeting the road right now. There's cost to your faith right now. And you grew up in a land where there's an apostasy that your faith costs nothing. It's all about you. It's all about what you get. If we could just save everybody. But the Father's looking for a bride for his son. It's not about you. Though it is about you, if it's just about you, you'll miss all the love necessary for a marriage to work. He's actually looking for people right now that just want him. They don't want him for the money. They don't want him for the health. They don't want him for any. They just want him. It's like we talked about last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know he's good. And he's God. He's God. Like, that's the basic math Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did was he's God. And we believe that. And we don't believe your God is God. So going out to meet the bridegroom means coming out of Babylon or the world, which means to separate from the world in the way you spend time and money, in the way you think about your reputation, and your vision of success, which is the lamp of the eye. We've talked about this a lot. And the time of judgment. So you've had lots of years. Most of you have had many years to think about these things. You know, how you spend your time and your money. What your reputation is. Who gives it to you. And, like, your success. What is success in your life? But now you're doing it in a time of judgment. That changes everything. It changes everything about the math. And when it does, you have to realize, oh, my faith isn't as sure as I thought it was. If the judgment is changing your vision and your vision is suddenly becoming more worldly, the judgment is sifting you out. If the judgment is changing your vision and your vision is becoming more one thing, the judgment is sifting you in. And it's easy to know. It's actually really easy to know. Does your words sound like the news? And I'm not just talking about CNN or Fox News. Do your words sound like the news? If they sound like the news, you sound like the world. If you sound like the world, your heart's like the world. If your heart's like the world, you're going with the world. And you'll be cast out. But if your words don't sound like CNN or Fox News, your heart is not like the world. And you're being blown into his presence. This is very important right now. Very important. And then I give you Revelation 3, 17 to 22, which is talking about lukewarmness and our need to actually buy from him gold refined in the fire that we could be rich. This is the admonition to the church, is that I actually want you to spend yourself on something. It's your thought that you don't need to. Yeah, I got enough of Jesus. I don't need to spend myself on that. And a little bit of the world, I don't need to spend myself on that. That doesn't satisfy me. A lot of people in the church will say the world doesn't satisfy me, but Jesus doesn't really satisfy them either. They're unsatisfied. And he's like, come get satisfied. Spend yourself on me. Buy gold for me. Buy the robe. You have to buy the robe. He's not going to give it to you, though you can't buy it. So you can only get the bridal clothing if he washes you in the water and the word. You actually have to ask him. That's Ephesians 5. But in Revelation 19, it says, let's rejoice because the bride has made herself ready. Well, which is it? It's both. It's a cooperation. You actually have to do something right now in the way of getting clothed for the wedding. And that's not a kind of, you know, I do it when I have time. That's like, that should be your life vision right now. I have got to get clothed for this wedding. I can see the contractions mean it's almost here. Okay. That's kind of what we've all been talking about this morning and during worship. Okay, now God is shaking, item C, everything to lead us to the place of peace. God is shaking. What are some things God's shaking right now? Just yell them out. Health, money. Come on. You in the world. I'm sorry? Security, absolutely. The weather, yes, thank you. Safety, everywhere. Family, politics. Understanding. He's shaking all of these things to get you to the place of peace. Identity, yes, he's shaking identity thoroughly right now. But he's not shaking it to find out how stable you are without him. This is the mistake in the church that's been getting ready. The 10 bridesmaids, half of them think that this is actually about being strong. And the reason I say this is because that's what Peter said. I'm ready to die for you, Lord. He was foolish. He actually fell away. He was actually sifted like wheat. Jesus prophesied this to him. He said, Satan has asked to sift you. I'm praying your faith won't fail. Come, Peter, pray and watch with me. If you think that this prayer room is about your issue and you put in your time and then you don't have to do it anymore, you're missing the whole point of this prayer room. This prayer room is actually about you agreeing with Jesus about what he calls faith in the time of his return. He says, will I not avenge my own elect, but will I find faith? Well, what were those elect doing? Crying out to him day and night. Not for their pet issue. Just because he's worthy of it. He's actually worthy of a life laid down, a vision of being clothed. And the parable of the 10 bridesmaids combined with the letters to the 7 churches tell us with so much clarity what to be praying for right now. The persecuted church, is that in there? Absolutely. Smyrna? Yes. The loveless church? Yes. Ephesus? Definitely. Are you persecuted? You should be. You should be able to relate to Smyrna a little bit. Are you loveless? Probably. You should be able to relate to Ephesus a little bit. Are you going for a good reputation, but there's really not as much in here as you'd like everybody to think? Well, then you're like Sardis. There's a lot to pray for in the 7 churches. There's a lot that these bridesmaids could be getting vision and oil and connection. And when they go out to meet him, then they're not surprised that there's a storm in between them and him. Because there is much more than you've experienced so far. So God is shaking everything to lead us to the place of peace, not to find out how stable we are without him. He's not testing you to find out if you can make it into heaven. He's testing you to find out if you know you can't, so that you have a savior. He actually wants to join you to a savior. You're going to need a savior in a million years. You're going to need a savior in a billion years. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That means the lamb's blood is effective forever. You're actually going to need a savior forever. He's not trying to find out if you got what it takes to make it through this storm. He's not trying to find out if you got what it takes to be righteous in heaven. He's trying to find out, do you know you don't and can't, and you need a savior forever? Do you know that? Is that what you're seeing? Is that the hope? Is that the thing that's starting to burn in your lamp right now is, there's no hope but this man. And it's not just the hope for COVID. It's not just the hope for money. It's not just the hope for, you know, the revelation events to unfold. It's my hope for a billion years. Like, I have no idea what I'm going to eat in a billion years, but I'm going to still have a body that eats. He did. He ate in his resurrected body. I have no idea what I'm going to breathe in a billion years, but I'm going to still need air. You're clay without the Spirit. You're clay without God's help. Your dust, your molecules without his help. Is this the realization we're coming to right now that would lead us to risk it all? Even though the whole world is saying these are the solutions and they require unity, are you in a hope that's like, the solution requires me bowing my knee to the only solution? That is actually the requirement the solution requires. It doesn't require unity. In fact, it says really clearly, the road is narrow, few who find it, the real solution. Is this the vision that you're feeding your heart with right now? Or do you sound like the world? Is your conversation different than the world? And I don't, by world, I just want to be really clear. By world, I don't mean CNN. Some people hear CNN. And some people hear Fox News. I don't mean Fox News. I mean not sounding like either one. Or MSNBC. Wait, over here. It's just a joke. We actually have to have a different vision than the world right now, okay? Haggai 2, 5 to 9. According to the word I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Was fear a part of coming out of Egypt? What did it look like? When did the fear settle in when they came out of Egypt? In the wilderness, other side of the Red Sea. I mean, there was fear all through the whole thing, but it culminated. What did it sound like? What did fear sound like? Complaining. Complaining, bitterness, impatience. Wanting to go back, building a golden calf. With the very materials God had given them to build the tabernacle, and they came out, it sounded like building a golden calf. I'm talking about the mark of the beast. Do you know that's what's next, right? It's going to come, and it's going to sound way more loving and require way more unity than the vaccine. I want to tell you that really clearly right now. And if you think it's something that you're not going to do, you're going to take it. It's not something you don't do. It's a test of what you're doing right now. What are you doing right now? What are you doing about money and provision right now? What are you fearing right now? If you think to yourself, okay, I can see that thing coming, I'm just not going to do it. If you keep your eye on a certain spot, that is where you will go. I'm telling you right now, I feel the Holy Spirit on me right now. It's coming much sooner than you think, and it will look much better than you think, and there'll be most of the church preaching how good it is. And if you break from it, you're evil, and you don't know Jesus, and he would never, and he loves people, and he loves your children, and he loves my children, and how could you do this to my kids? How could you do this to the poor people? How could you do this to Africa? How could you do this to anyone? Are you ready for that? I don't think you are. And I say that because I love you. And I know that the Bible says none of us are unless we're admitting we're not. And we're praying with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is like, Father, is there any other way? Why wasn't Peter awakened to the fact that Jesus was like, I mean, Jesus invited Peter to come pray with him. Peter could have heard, is there any other way? Somebody did because they wrote it in the Bible. Why was Peter sleeping when Jesus himself was saying, Father, is there any other way? I'll drink the cup if it's your will. Is there any other way? I don't think that we feel as intense about the mark of the beast as Jesus does. I think we have a lot of opinions. I think we have a lot of ideas of our own glory, of our own willingness to resist the pull of the world. You'd be resisting it right now. You'd actually be finding the camp of the persecuted right now if you were. You'd be like, I want to be counted a criminal with him. This is what Hebrews 11 is laying out. All the people that said, yeah, I'd rather be counted a criminal with him than take the rescue because I have a hope for a better resurrection. That's Hebrews 11. Is this what you're praying about right now? Because this isn't natural to the flesh. There aren't some people born like wanting persecution. There's people that have a vision for labor. They have a vision for the baby being born. They believe what he said in John 16. They believe what he said in John 15. It's not just somebody else's story. It's theirs. And it happens in the breaking of the seals and then the blowing of the trumpets. I want to tell you, trumpets, I think they're starting to blow right now. I really do. I think they're starting to blow right now. It's if you listen, you can hear many people talking about it. The prophets are starting to say the trumpets are blowing. It's not going to be obvious. No one knows. He's going to come like a thief in the night. It's as in the days of Noah. It's only in faith you're going to discern these things. Are you asking him, Lord, where are we? Am I sealed? Did the breaking of all these seals, did it produce fear in me or did it produce faith in me? Did it produce a lifting of the head and hope? Am I more on fire for Jesus in the breaking of the seals than I was before they were broken? I don't think so. I don't think just based on what we're praying about. I'm feeling kind of dull, feeling kind of disconnected. That's what Jesus wants. This is what he's looking for. Do you hear what I'm saying? The flesh interprets what I'm saying as I got to get more pumped. The Spirit says, you're not. Can you embrace that? Can you embrace that you need a Savior? Can you embrace you're going to need actually somebody else to get you through the mark of the beast? Can you? Can you embrace you need somebody else to get you through COVID? I mean, over and over, all of the man's plans are failing. Over, even the Muslims know it. Can you embrace that the prayers being offered this morning, that's what the wise bridesmaid sound like? God, I'm feeling wiped. I don't get it. Where are you? Just tell him I'm lovesick. Just tell him I'm lovesick. I am lovesick. I kind of know where he's at, but I just, I can't touch him. I'm lovesick. Why? Why are you lovesick? Do you have a reason? What's he look like? Alice, what does he look like? Paul, what is he like? Lonnie, do you have a reason for lovesickness? Matt, what is that burning in your heart, the vision of him? Now, the flesh hears that and says, I got to get to know more about him. The spirit says, come, just sit. You can't know God, but the spirit knows him and will take you in. The spirit will escort you into the holy place. The flesh says, there's all these things I'm supposed to be. I'm not these things. Pride says, I'll become these things. Shame says, if everybody finds out I'm not these things, I'm rejected. The spirit says, come with me. Just wait. Occupy yourself with something else than everybody else is occupied with. Get a different conversation than your side or that side or whatever side. The Holy Spirit is saying this is a once in creation moment in time. There's so much available in the Spirit right now. But that doesn't mean that we come and like stir each other up in that way. We stir each other up in humility, love and good works, right? Love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift from God. Good works, no good without faith. Like we actually should be admonishing one another. Look, the cry of hunger in our mouths, that is the evidence that it's working. It's the cry of hunger in our mouths. There's going to be lying signs and wonders. They're already starting to break out. There'll be people that are like, okay, this is the revival. He's here, or he's there, or he's in this inner room. Don't go there, he says. Don't go there. You get a vision for labor. What's happening is labor. You don't have to get the advertisement about the fire. The fire, you'll know where the fire is. Labor. That's the vision. Don't fall for lying signs and wonders right now. They're going to come right alongside the mark of the beast. That's what Revelation 13 is describing. Don't worry about the notes. I'm preaching you what's in the notes. Revelation 13 lays out that there is a false prophet coming, a false Christian prophet. He's going to make an image in honor of the beast. He's going to demand people worship it. It's going to be with lying signs and wonders. He'll even be able to call down fire. He'll be a false Elijah. And what he's calling people to is earthly solutions, the mark of the beast. You won't be able to buy or sell without it. If you resist it, most of the church will disown you because most of the church isn't saved. The way is narrow if you find it. You're being tested right now with COVID-19 to find out what's being produced in your heart. Is it a faith, an overriding faith that I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm loyal to Jesus. I'm loyal to his witness. I'm loyal to his name. He is Jehovah Rapha. There will be no other. I'll do whatever he tells me to. I'm not telling you not to take a vaccine. I'm telling you, is your heart being solidified in Jehovah Rapha right now? Because Jehovah Jireh is going to be tested in your heart next. Is your heart solidifying in Jehovah Jireh right now? Now, shaking, it happens in two different ways, according to the Bible. Some people increase in the shaking. Israel got a ton of wealth in the coming out of Egypt. That actually condemned them to building the golden calf. Is their hearts, in the breaking of all that wealth, in the coming out of Egypt, there was something going on in their hearts that wasn't Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. We can wait for Moses on that mountain as long as we need to. This stuff is for him. He gave it to us. It wasn't even ours. You can't eat it. Like he's giving us this, you know, this other stuff to eat. He's giving us water from the rock. Something in their heart wasn't established in that, in the breaking, as they were being threshed out of Egypt. So when the wind came, the wind of testing came, they blew right into idolatry. What's happening in your heart right now? When you look at the news, are you worried about inflation? Are you like, my redemption is drawing near? This is the third seal. Yes. Yes. When you look at sickness, are you like, this is literally the fourth seal. This is great. If you sound like this, your Christian friends, some of them will get mad at you. Some of them will love it, but for the wrong reasons, because of pride and arrogance. Are you saying the truth in love to yourself? Are you saying, Jesus, whatever your opinion is about it, that's my opinion? Are you saying, this is enough, it's more than enough of the signs that I've been waiting for, and I want to sit before you weak, needy? Is the shaking sifting you into the barn? Or are you starting to blow with the world? It will be too late. I want to tell you for sure, it will be too late. I don't know when too late is. That's the wrong question. When is too late? Today. If you hear the word of the Lord today, enter into his rest. If you hear the word of the Lord today, enter into his rest. Why is it called rest in Hebrews 4? Hebrews is talking about all the things that people are supposed to do to stay wholehearted and on fire for Jesus. Why is it talking about rest? Because it's laying out the fact that you can't do those things, but you must be those things. That means you need a Savior, and you need to talk to him and abide in him that he would do those things in you. It's talking about a prayer movement. That's what it's talking about. That's how that litany of faith. I was just talking to some leaders here in Comstock, and they're all talking about Hebrews 11 right now, the litany of faith. It's what the Spirit is breathing on the church in this area right now, is the litany of faith. If you look, they're all people who prayed. They're all people who had to wait on the Lord. They're all people who tried to do it in their own strength and then came to the humility of saying, I can't. Abraham at some point said, I can't. He was dead to the promise, according to Hebrews. Moses, at some point, I mean, we know what happened with Moses, right? We have to be a people who in hope say we can't, but we believe he can. This is the point of the shaking right now. And if you believe that, it sounds offensive to the left and to the right because it sounds weak. It sounds like people who need an invisible savior. And no one really wants to believe that except for the few people that want to believe that we actually need an invisible Savior. And I know him, right? I know him. So I'm not really making a big faith choice. I've been learning to hear his voice. Well, who is he that you would do that? Well, let me tell you. He's white and ruddy. His hair is like the ravens. His eyes are fitly set. His body is like ivory in settings of sapphire. Where is he? He's in his garden. He's gone out to check on the harvest. Then why are you saying you're looking for him? I just want to long for him. I want you to know what my hope is. She's a witness. The Shulamite in Song of Songs 5, she's a witness to church leaders. She's a witness to the watchmen who are beating her. Are you ready for this? There's a 42-month war built into the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. That's what they're going out to meet him in the middle of. Is a war where God gives the saints into the authority of the Antichrist. Let's go there. He says, he wants me to read it because I think there's some disbelief in here. Revelation 13. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Don't hear me the wrong way. Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw in one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Now, I want to tell you, there's a large part of the church that will chase the world because they think that Jesus wants them to so they can be saved, so the world can be saved. Well, we'll just kind of go along with the world so the world can get saved, and at some point we'll tell them nice things along the way. That's not the biblical plan. If you do that, you will be caught up in a worship movement that worships the wrong Jesus. The world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who could resist this? God would not possibly expect me to resist this. It's impossible to resist. If I resist it, I can't do anything. If I can't do anything, I'm not useful to him. There's circular logic in all of this. You're being tested to see if you will resist it. To see if you actually have a hope that the world doesn't have. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. This is what they're going out to meet him in the middle of. This is midnight. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, every tongue, every nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. This is not obvious. This actually takes prayer. God, give me ears to hear and eyes to see. Where is this war coming from? Do you know they told Jesus, Jesus, you got a demon. You think people are trying to kill you. And he's like, I know people are trying to kill me. They're like, nobody's trying to kill you. You got a demon. Do you know this war will not be obvious? Were people trying to kill Jesus? How did Jesus know? The Spirit. The Spirit told him. You think anybody else believed him when he's like, you're trying to kill me? And they're like, nobody's trying to kill you. You got a demon. You're just paranoid. You just think you're all that. I want to tell you, people are plotting to kill you right now, according to the Bible, if you're faithful to Jesus. If you're trying to avoid persecution, they're not. They love you. It's perfect. That's what they're going for. Are you trying to get into the camp of the persecuted right now? We should have been trying from the moment we started. Now, if you got saved in, let's say, Saudi Arabia, you took a step into the camp of the persecuted. That was obvious. That's what you were doing. But you were born into an apostate moment in time in America where there's no persecution for Christianity. But I want to tell you, that's changing. That's very dangerous for Christians who think that success means no persecution. Persecution is coming, and it's primarily coming focused on the mark of the beast. I'm going to take about 2 more minutes. If he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That's what labor requires. Patience and vision. Faith. It's going to work. It is working. The fact that there's a war means it's working. If your solutions are getting you accolades from the world, you're being loved by the world and you're being rejected. You're being actually cast out. You don't know it. You don't want your choices to get you accolades from the world. You actually want your choices to be lined up with what the Spirit is telling you to do. There's some things that God will tell a person to do that will appeal to the people around them. Does that mean that that's what God is going for? We don't know. He wants obedience. He's the one who's going to get the harvest, not us. If we take it on ourselves to get the harvest, we'll start to make choices that we think Jesus should make to appeal to the world. That's a great way to forfeit your soul. There are some things God is calling you to do that the world hates. But those are the things that will reach the world to save them. You don't know the difference between the two. Peter stood up at Acts 2 and he said, "You killed Jesus and thousands got saved." Where a week before that, they were in a murderous rage about Jesus. You don't know what the Lord is doing. You don't know what the Lord of the harvest is doing. You actually want to know him. Right now, you got to know him, okay? Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. This is the false prophet. He will appear to be a Christian through and through. He'll be a great Christian leader, I assume. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. He will have power. He'll have political power, and he'll have what appears to be supernatural power. And he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. It will just make sense. This is definitely what the Lord is doing. It makes sense. This guy's, something supernatural happened with him. The whole church says this is it. This is the answer. This is the worship. It feels good. It will feel good to the flesh, very good to the flesh. You ever had worship feel good to the flesh? You ever had worship feel awful to the flesh, but it was good to the Spirit? Is that what you're going for? Are you going for good for the Spirit? The flesh, I hope the flesh gets satisfied in it, some here and there, but what matters is that my spirit's going to live forever. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. This worship is going to feel so good to the flesh. Everyone will be like, it's obvious. What is wrong with you? You don't love God? You don't love Jesus? We're all feeling. You'll want to feel it. You'll want to feel good in the flesh. Do you feel it right now? You're just hoping, like, just give me some good news. Tell me I can stop pushing for a little while. Like, when's the pain over? Like, this is really it. What if it's not it? Am I going to waste my life? If you wouldn't waste your life for it not being it, you don't love Jesus. The right thing to do in the end times is always the right thing to do. It doesn't matter if this is it or not. It matters if you want to give yourself to this man. It matters. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. I want to tell you just from internet, I think about half the people I know online, if fire came down from heaven, they would literally move there to be a part of that movement. And that would be a big mistake. He's here, he's there, right here. This is where he's coming. This is where he's qualifying. This is where he's sifting. This is where he's threshing. This is where he's winnowing. If you think it's somewhere else because something's happening somewhere else, then you are not connected in the vine. You have to abide right now. He will not let you miss it. If you give yourself to abiding in him, I guarantee you, you will not miss it. If you give yourself to not missing it, you will miss him. You will miss him. He deceives those. Everybody say deceive. He deceives those. It's not obvious. It's not like the Christians will know. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which was granted to do, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth. Now, this is talking about a heart condition. Do you dwell on the earth or do you dwell in heaven? Where are you dwelling right now? Are you trying to divide your time between both? If so, you're weak to resist this. If you're hot, good. Cold, he can work with that. You're teachable. Lukewarm, never cut it. Will never cut it. You'll be deceived, and you will have no idea you're being deceived. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. It will feel righteous to the flesh to worship the image of the beast. It will feel Christian. It will feel Muslim. It will feel Buddhist. It will feel pure. It will feel uniting. It will feel good to worship the image of the beast. Don't get the wrong picture. Don't get 1940s Germany, Heil Hitler in your mind, though it did feel good to many people worshiping Hitler until everything fell apart. I want to tell you, it will feel religious to worship the image of the beast. It will take a weight off of the doubt and the discouragement of your flesh. You got to find a different way to deal with that weight right now. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Lord is saying this. You've got to find a different way to deal with that weight right now. The doubt and discouragement on your flesh. And the way that we deal with it, it's what we're doing this morning. God, I feel kind of dull. I got this weight. Like, I don't have hope. If you don't have hope, the Spirit does. And is more than willing to give it. If you believe, he's willing to give it to people that don't have it. But if you think, I got to get hopeful, just, you know, give me some more Bible verses. Hope, hope, hopeful ones, hopeful ones, hopeful ones, hopeful ones, itching ears. That's what they do. Just give me the hopeful verses. No, I don't have hope. I'm looking truth straight in the face. I feel like I'm being sifted like wheat. Don't let my faith fail. That's what Jesus was praying. Jesus was praying for Peter, Father, don't let his faith fail. And that's what he was telling Peter, tell the Father, don't let my faith fail. Don't let my faith fail. Not, I'm ready to die for him. Show me another thing you think the mark of the beast is, and I'll say I'll resist that thing. You'll take it. Guaranteed. You have to be a person that says, there's not enough in me, in the shaking. I just want to be moved by you like wheat. If you want that, oh, I should finish this. Sorry. It's the last message. I just heard him say. Let's finish Revelation 13. It's been a frustrating group of messages, honestly, because I have all these notes that we never actually read. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. That's the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. You should be thinking about this is what this means. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. You're supposed to be thinking about what is this? Who is this? Why is this happening? What is going to cause this? Okay, Abe, you want to come back up? I want to read you one more thing. If you go to page 3 of the notes, Abe, you can just start playing. Soft, little, beautiful chords. Actually, go to page 2. Like, split the notes right open like this. Page 2. Now, the Spirit of Elijah, it's promised that the Spirit of Elijah would come before the second coming of Jesus. That's what Jesus told his disciples. They said, isn't the Spirit of Elijah supposed to come? He says, he is coming, but he has come, and it's John the Baptist if you can receive it. The Spirit of Elijah is actually sent to do something very specific, to deal with a very specific heart reality. Okay, and this is what God's complaint is against Israel for sending the Spirit of Elijah. Hear me. Lord, let me hear you. Yet from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way should we return? Anybody saying that in your heart right now? Like, what else can I do? This is what he says. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it, I want to tell you something. By the Spirit of the Lord, you're going to need this overflow soon, very soon. And if you haven't stored up your little 10, he's not going to pour it out overflowing back on you. I want to tell you right now, he's warning us. Deal with your money issues right now. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and we have walked as mourners before the Lord? We're tired of the labor. We're tired of the mourning. It doesn't work. He says, you're speaking against me. You're complaining against me. He says, I will send a curse on your land because of it. I've sent the spirit of Elijah to turn hearts, willing hearts of the fathers to the children, willing hearts of the children to the children to the fathers. But I will destroy the land with a curse. This is the message of the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. I never knew you. Get out. Yes, you were in the meeting, but you're just complaining. You sound just like the world. You're the nation of Israel. You sound just like the world. You're godless. Are you godless? Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You've said it's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept his ordinance and that we have walked in as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Now this is the part he wants me to really hear. Me, I need to hear it. Malachi 3, 16, 18. You're not wasting your time. Then those who feared the Lord, stand with me if you will. Those who feared the Lord, they spoke to one another. They said it out loud to each other. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. He's listening to what we're saying to each other. He's listening in our bedrooms what we're saying to our spouses. He's listening what we say to our kids. He's listening to what we're listening to, what we're feeding our hearts, what we're filling our hearts with. He's listening to our posts on Facebook. He's listening to our lack of witnessing. He's making a list. He's sealing servants right now. The wind of the trumpets is about to go. He's warning us. He's merciful. He's ever kind. He's saying your heart, it's revealed in your words. It's revealed in your conversation. Be honest about what you're saying. Turn to me. He says, tell each other. We got to turn to him. We should fear him. We should fear what he's about to do next. We should fear him. If you want that, Holy Spirit in this room, just raise our hands before him. God, I want the fear of the Lord. God, I want the words that sound like the fear of the Lord. God, I want to guard my ears. I want to think on what's lovely, what's beautiful, what's of good report. I want to guard my heart, God, in this season. I want to guard my heart. I want to actually have vision for the next wave of judgment so that I'm hopeful and faithful, not fearful and worldly in my response to it. If you want that, Holy Spirit, pour it out. That's a gift. That's not a personality trait. It's a gift. I just want it. I want to open my heart right now. Open your heart. Just put it in there, God. It's not in there. If you're honest, it's not in there. He'll put it there. Pour it out, God. Pour out your fire. Pour out your spirit, Jesus.